They were found wandering the Eternity. It was a routine patrol that located them in our orbit, their flight cradle completely devoid of power. The patrol itself circled Shambhala continuously, their black hull visible in our green sky. They had never encountered anything like it before. They were fierce. They fought with all of their might, but they could not overcome our superior strength. These strangers looked much like us, but were smaller in every dimension, slower too, and completely hostile, fearful of everything and everyone around them. We took the strangers before the hierarchy, and the decision was made to allot them for departure. Many, including myself, wished for an in-depth study of their anatomy, but we did not wish to aggravate them further. They had already managed to injure members of the patrol with their fists. They seemed unable to comprehend our words and spoke in a language with which we were unfamiliar. However, as we left them in the place of departure, departing the first of the five, the others appeared to understand. They called to the departed stranger, their faces twisted. They seemed to despair at its lack of response. Three of them began to writhe on their podiums and made the most unpleasant of noises. The final stranger readied itself. When the new arrivals first came down upon Shambhala, they had lost their sight as they first looked to our sky. We do not know why this is the case, but they inevitably became increasingly helpless and again lashed out at us. Of course, their anomalous disability rendered them completely under our control, and we apprehended them easily. Yet, as the stranger looked out with its sightless eyes, despite the overwhelming power we had held over it, I could see in them a strength unlike anything else I had ever observed. It appeared to be of the lesser gender, its hands smaller and softer when compared to the other four. Its blanched eyes shone like the sky eyes that glowed from the Eternity. And as those useless eyes secreted droplets of liquid onto the lesser's face, it opened its mouth and a bizarre sound filled the place of departure. It was literally otherworldly, unheard of, inexpressibly elating. After everything that has happened, we still do not have a word for it. I can tell you that it was soft and defenseless, much like the lesser itself, yet powerful and endless. Whirling around us as it moved its mouth, forming unknown phrases that fluctuated methodically in pitch and volume, a pattern of four beats, then three, then four again, building forcefully before unexpectedly growing quiet. Fear rippled out through my fellow Shambhalans, a chill of the unknown. Before we immediately launched into debate, do we depart the lesser or keep it sustained to study this phenomenon it beheld to us? The latter was agreed upon. Our world was soon transfixed. The sound was transmitted on all airways so that the planet could know of our discovery and so that discussions to decide the lesser's uses could commence. It was observed for a period of 20 sky eyes, during which time a diet and manageable exercise regime was designed. We tried to probe beneath the strange pale fabrics it wore, but at its sudden distress we elected to postpone our investigation. Dissection was not an imminent requirement. The lesser seemed to understand why it was not departed. It continued to emit this singular sound for us on several occasions when we requested it, touching its mouth to indicate our desires. The lesser was held within the containment facility while we attempted to rectify its vision, as it did not seem to regenerate like our own. This was to no avail. Eventually, Shambhala wanted to see our discovery. The hierarchy initially forbade such a public display, yet finally relented as the world protested.